Good morning and welcome to the Marysville 3CU Church. Welcome to those that are joining us online. Our scripture today, we're going to turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If the Lord continues to lead in the direction that I sense this morning, we might work through parts of Deuteronomy, just the next few chapters. But today we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read it in sections and then expound on it, and then we'll summarize things back together. Now, this part of Deuteronomy, remember, is where the people have been brought out of Egypt. And if you recall, they came to the Promised Land and they determined not to go over. They were afraid of the giants and afraid of things going on except for Joshua and Caleb, and they wanted to go on. But then they were sent and they roamed in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, all of that generation that did not want to go in died off. You know, you did have Moses and some of those, but Moses, we know, didn't end up going into the Promised Land either. But as they died off, then their children went forward. There was a particular age that below that age would have been included. And so we come to this time period, they're about to enter into and cross over Jordan. Part of the tribes have taken up and determined that they would be on the east side of the Jordan and take their inheritance there. And the rest are going to go cross over Jordan into the Promised Land. And the ones that are taken resident on the east side, they're going to go over and support them in the fight. But there's some direction that comes to them in this early part of Deuteronomy. And so let's begin with chapter 8, Deuteronomy. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 first. We'll expound on those, and then we'll work our way through the passage. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." So we just recalled for you, and you may remember that the previous generation was the one that had been found guilty, I guess you would say, of not being obedient. So they weren't going to go in. But the following generations, their children, may have picked up some bad habits or might have had some challenges. And during that 40 years, he says there, and led you, in verse 2, all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So this concept of this testing in the difficult times to humble, to bring corrective action maybe over what they had been taught or learned from their parents, and see if they're going to be willing to obey. So remember that. We'll come back to that. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." You might recall that Jesus says, "Have you not read, or have you not heard, or man shall not live by bread alone," when he was being tempted in the wilderness. Very interesting, Jesus was being tempted in what was called the wilderness by Satan. And they were tested and taught and learned that but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So let's read verse 3 again. "So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. By manna which you did not know, and nor your fathers know. It was a method of food that they were not previously aware of. It was a miracle in itself. It was a new creation, it would seem. And verse 4 is rather interesting. Your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. They walked all those times and all those places they went. God was sustaining them, although they were complaining and they got tired. You know, some people get tired of having the same thing over and over. They got tired of having manna over and over. Some people don't care. But God sustained them. So we're building. He's testing them. And he explains the test. And in the testing time, it's also a teaching time that we need to rely on God and God's word. And even though it's difficult, we learn that reliance, or we should. And in verse 5, it continues, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. So as fathers, we care for, or parents, we care for our sons. Of course, we care for our daughters too. But as a man chastens his son, as a father chastens his son, he's looking out for his good. He's trying to teach him the right ways. And so God also is trying to teach us. Jesus talks about how if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. It's very interesting, this tie back to this portion in Deuteronomy. I want us to be careful, though, to think about that we don't jump to the conclusions that every time that you go through a testing time, it is because of punishment. Because we know Job didn't do anything wrong, and he went through a difficult time. And remember, the friends of Job came and said, what did you do wrong? And they accused him of all things. You must have done something wrong. I don't know. I didn't do nothing wrong. So they kept beating on him. You must have done something wrong. It's not that he did anything wrong. God was bringing glory to himself. So we have to be very careful that we don't jump to conclusions in regard to ourselves. I must have did something wrong. Why am I going through this? It could be that God is preparing you for the next thing, or he's testing you, or he's bringing glory to his name and say, look, this person is following you, or it could be some chastening, but we just can't jump to those conclusions, nor should we jump to conclusions when we're evaluating the situation somebody else is going through. Oh, the reason you're having it so hard, you must have done something wrong. Not necessarily. And in those cases, sometimes it's better to worry more about ourselves than the other person. So we continue in verses 6 through 10. We're going to read those in a group and pick up as we build through this. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So he's telling them, the time of chastening is about to be over. The time of challenges is about to be over. The time of that difficulty. And he's going to bring you in a good land. And it talks about all the blessings that are coming and all the benefits that are going to be there, and you're going to have plenty of food, and you're going to have those things. And then the admonition in verse 10 is that you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So God sustained you in the difficult times. He tested you, built your reliance, see if you're going to trust him, and then the blessings are coming. But, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Let's keep reading through verse 18. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have been and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. To do you good in the end. Right then it was difficult. But sometimes those difficult times and those challenging times is better in the end. Joseph went in and was in bondage and a slave. His brother sold them. But God turned it into good so that he could rescue his brothers and his family during the famine. Verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. It's a caution. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So the caution is, God brought you through the wilderness. Now he's going to give you plenty. Don't forget where you got it. Don't forget it was from God. Don't forget that he helped you through that. Don't say, hey, look at me, I've got all this stuff, and forget God and forget to follow God and what he has done. So let's go on to verse 19 and 20. If we forget, what's the consequences? Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. It's a binary choice. If you obey God, you might have times of testing, but God will sustain you as you continue to obey him. And then he will bring you into times, there might be times then of plenty. But be careful during those times that you don't fail to remember God. Because he's God in the lean times and God in the plenty times. Lest you end up cycling yourself back to, if you think about the ones that one, we're going to go to the promised land, and they were disobedient to God when it was time. And so then there was a time of testing that followed for their children, and they didn't reap those blessings. So let's review. During times of testing, it's for our good. It helps us to learn, help us to rely on God, but don't think necessarily that you've done something wrong. Don't beat yourself up. Somebody else's, don't beat them up. It could be that there's a corrective action that God is chasing you and you need to learn those lessons. Or it might be that he is testing you for better things, that you're going to obey him in the future. But God still loves you, and the chastening is because he loves you as the Father loves the Son. Don't think that he's abandoned you. Don't think that he hates you. Don't think he's cast you off. Because if you're obedient to God, it's either a testing to make you stronger, to prepare, or it's a testing to correct you. But it's all for your good. And once you come through that time when God sustains you, remember how he sustained you. In some ways, he sustained you in miraculous ways. In miraculous ways that maybe you couldn't even have dreamed of. It says they didn't even know about it. The manna, they didn't know about it. They didn't know about it. Their fathers didn't know about it. He sustained you in some miraculous ways. Remember those times and continue to obey God. And then in the times of plenty, obey God then too. And be humble and remember where things come from. Otherwise, you'll just start this cycle back up again. And it might have impact on generations. So you want to have impacting generations for good and not for bad. But keep your wits about you. Enjoy the things God blesses you with, but remember who they come from and the blessings. The need to be obedient to Him and where the blessings come from, the good come from, and how He sustains you in the good and bad. Be aware of the warnings. Be prepared. Have a level mindset. And it might be a good time if God is blessing you to bless others in their times of need, in their times of challenging. So as we look at Deuteronomy and we can learn from the children of Israel, and we find those passages there where it talked about we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus even references this when He was tempted. We need to remember these things. And as we move forward through Deuteronomy, we'll reference and build on this as we move forward. So whether you're in good times or bad times, I pray that you're trusting in God. He'll sustain you. And as He brings you into the good times, that you continue to remember Him so the blessings might continue and you don't have to go learn some lessons again. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that in our time, we may be a time of blessing or a time of challenge. And Lord, if there's lessons that we need to learn, may we learn them. But Lord, and if you're preparing us for the next thing, that we would get our preparation. Lord, may we be obedient to you in the good and be obedient to you in the challenges. Help us, Lord, to not be overly critical of ourselves, think you don't care about us, but help us know that you continue to sustain us and we're more minded of that, especially in the difficult times, and how you bring along the unexpected miracles, the unexpected things to sustain us through these times of difficulty. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us, that when we get in the times of plenty, to still remember where things come from. They come from the Lord. And that we might feel your blessing on our life. And we might remember you and praise you. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to help us to lean on you. And we thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.